The frontier-centered restorationist movement, by some also called primitivism, sought to recapture the pure, unencumbered Christianity of the New Testament by stripping away the imported corruptions of European ecclesiastical authority and practice. Labels such as Lutheran, Anglican, or Baptist, for that matter, even the term reverend, were to be cast aside. During the 1830s, the several groups of dissidents cohered as the simply named Christian Church, but later split into three separate networks. Confusingly named the Churches of Christ, the Christian Churches, and the Christian Church Disciples of Christ. Accepting no more than a bare-bones institutional framework, the three became significant sects in the Upper South and Ohio Valley states during the decades before the Civil War. Greater flamboyance marked two other new sects, both enlivened by founders' claims of special divine revelation. After the failure of predictions by William Miller, a self-educated farmer from upstate New York, that Christ would return in 1843 and then 1844, elements of his following were reorganized by associates. They claimed that the return had indeed taken place, but only as a spiritual and invisible passage into the presence of the Father. A full return was still to come. One founder, Ellen White, claimed to have had a personal vision of creation. The Seventh-day Adventists, as they became known in 1860, worshipped on Saturday, kept awaiting the Advent, and emphasized dietary practices that pioneered the role of grains as cold cereal. They, too, thrived and grew to count 1 million members in the United States by 2000. Most provocative of all was the emergence of the Mormon faith in the 1820s under the messianic leadership of Joseph Smith, another New Yorker. In 1830, he published the Book of Mormon, explaining how God had prevailed on Christopher Columbus to venture across the sea to the Promised Land, to open it for a new race of free men. Revelations to Smith by the angel Moroni told how the future United States had been occupied many years before Christ by several Hebraic peoples, the Lamanites, ancestors of the American Indians, and the Nephrites. Mormon himself, the father of Moroni, was a Nephrite who recorded the story of his tribe on gold plates. The New Jerusalem would be in America, and when Jesus returned, it would be to the area near Independence, Missouri. No shrinking violet, Smith announced in 1844 that he was running for president. With his popularity as worrisome to the respectable as his beliefs, an early example of the political threat of populist religion, Smith was jailed in Illinois and then shot while incarcerated. The Mormons had embraced polygamy, authorized by a revelation to Smith, while honoring both the Christian Bible and the Book of Mormon. After Smith was killed, they left their major settlement in Nauvoo, Illinois, and followed new leader Brigham Young west to Utah, establishing their new Israel around the Great Salt Lake, the River Jordan, and Utah Lake, a grouping that resembled an upside-down map of the biblical Galilee-Jordan-Dead Sea region. A century and a half later, more or less, but not entirely, shorn of polygamy, the Mormon religion dominated Utah and Idaho and constituted an influential regional force in six adjacent states. From under 50,000 in 1850, the Mormon population of the United States expanded to 1.1 million in 1950 and 5 million in 2000. In most surveys, however, Mormonism is still categorized as not quite Christian and not quite Protestant. Jehovah's Witnesses were yet another of the militant denominations assembled in the 19th century to await a second coming. Founder Charles Russell, who rejected the doctrine of the Trinity, proclaimed that Christ had returned to earth invisibly in 1874, preparatory to establishing a full presence. The cataclysm or advent was predicted for 1914. Over the years, Witnesses refused to serve in the military, vote, hold office, or salute the American flag, calling such practices the province of the Antichrist. As with the upsurge of the Seventh-day Adventists, part of the Witnesses' 20th century growth was international, resulting from missionary activities. In the United States alone, nearly 1 million witnessed the millennium. Evangelism of the more prosaic sort also accelerated after the Civil War. This time, though, Methodism, Now the nation's largest denomination, embracing a middle-class mindset and edging away from earlier Wesleyan intensity, had become a religious establishment to be raided. The Holiness Movement, which had pre-Civil War roots, advocated a return to Methodist founder John Wesley's striving for Christian perfection as a gift of the Holy Spirit. As Methodism boasted more costly church buildings, seminaries, and a plentitude of bishops, breakaway movements proliferated. They included the Indiana-based Church of God in 1881, the Christian and Missionary Alliance in 1887, the Church of the Nazarene in 1895, and the Church of God in Christ in 1897. Poaching-minded holiness preachers called on all true holiness Christians to come out of Methodism's Church of Mammon.